Hello everyone, it's Paul Taylor again, and it's my podcast, Becoming a Comedian. If you're new to the podcast, it's basically a podcast about me quitting my job as a real quitting my job as a real person, trying to become a stand-up comedian. I say trying. I think officially I've become one now because it's been 5 months, now 6 months actually, that I will have earned above the minimum wage doing what I love, which is cool. So officially, I guess 6 months, I guess I'll give it 1 year. When it's 1 year of on the row, in a row of money making, doing stand-up, then that will be officially, I guess, when I have become a comedian. And then this podcast won't be called Becoming a Comedian anymore. It'll become Became a Comedian. no, I think it'll become, I think it'll just keep the same name, you know. It's just the story of what happens when... I started the podcast because I thought it would take a lot longer lots more failure. Not that there hasn't been failure, as if you've listened to the podcast, you'll have noticed that stuff has happened. But anyway, welcome to the podcast if you're new to it. If you're not new to it, then welcome back. And I'm not going to do any promotion for the podcast for a little while. I'm just going to put the episodes out without telling people because I like it. It's kind of like a little private club of a few people. I don't even know how many people are listening to this, but I know there's like a handful, just to get the behind the scenes action of what's happening in my life here. So that's cool. So welcome back. I'm going to start with the promotion of my show, just because that's the thing that I like the most, and I want to do the most, and I need the most promotion of, because June is a tough month because the football has started in Paris. So let me run through some dates first of all before we get started. So hashtag Franglais is my show, if you don't already know, and it's half in English and half in French. And if you're in Paris, then come along and see the show. I'll be performing the next couple of shows. Are the important ones really for June, just to finish off the month of June at the comedy club that I've been performing at, which is at the Sceaux Gymnase. I've got three dates left. Sunday the 19th, so this coming Sunday the 19th of June, which is also Father's Day, so bring your dad along. My dad's coming with my little brother, so that'll be fun. Sunday the 19th, 7:30 p.m. Then Tuesday the 21st at 9:30 p.m. and Tuesday the 28th at 7 p.m. They are all at the Sceaux Gymnase Comedy Club. And that is my month of June in Paris. So Sunday the 19th at 7:30, Tuesday the 21st at 9:30, and Tuesday the 28th at 7 p.m. all at the Sceaux Gymnase. And if you don't live in Paris, but you happen somehow to live in either Caen, which is in Normandy, or in New York, which is in the United States of America, then I'm also playing there in June. In Caen, Thursday 23rd of June, 8:30 p.m. at a place called El Camino. So come along or tell people to come to that show in Caen. In New York, it's at the Producers Club Theatre on June 24th at 7:30 p.m. So a bunch of dates, that I've got left for June. I'm speaking French here. Qui reste, you know, whatever. Shut up, Paul. June is looking good. I say it's looking good. I've got dates in the bag, which is good. What isn't looking good is just the attendance so far of June has been pretty poor compared to January, February, March, April and May, which were all sold out. June is about half full, shall we say, half capacity. So spread the word. I need to finish June on a high. I already have dates for July. I'm actually going to be changing room, which is exciting for me. Because it's after 6 months of performing at the Sceaux Gymnase, which is home really for me, because I've been performing there for 3 years on various shows, but I've been doing my own show there for the last 6 months, and it's a great little club, but it's time to move on to a slightly bigger room. I say it's time to move on. January through May, it was sold out, so I was like, I should probably go to a bigger room. And so we organised that, and I will be performing in a bigger room. But now June, I'm half full, so I'm kind of shitting myself, if I'm honest, because it might end up being terrible, and the gamble might not pay off. But basically, the new room is called Sentier des Halles. It's a great room. It looks like a cave. It feels more like a stand-up room than the Sceaux Gymnase does, so I'm excited about doing that. It's a slightly bigger room. It's got, like, you know, proper lights. Not that the Sceaux Gymnase doesn't, but it feels more like a production thing. And it's also got a bar, which is cool. You can grab a drink, and there's also other great comedians performing there. So I'm excited to do the month of July there, and that'll be Tuesdays at 8 p.m. So pretty standard throughout the month of July, every Tuesday, 8 p.m. At the Sentier des Halles in July. So that's it. That's my promotion for my one-man show. So come along to those dates, please, so that I feel like I'm not wasting my life away. All right, biggest date, if I'm honest, biggest date is this Sunday. Bring your dad along. My dad's going to be there. My little brother's going to be there. I want them to feel like, oh, shit, I've made it. I've done something good with my life. As opposed to just, oh, I'm performing in front of 5 people. There's currently 19 people that are booked in. I think, was it 19 or 16? It might have been 16. Let me check. It was 16. Okay, so I've only got 16 people for this Sunday. I need more people, so bring them along. All right, shut up, Paul. That's enough of my bullshit around my one-man show. What else has been going on in the last week? Hopefully you've had a good week since last week, or since whenever you last listened to the podcast. You might have listened to the podcast literally an hour ago, or you know, however it is that you're listening to this. Anyway, I've cheered up substantially. I was pretty depressed and pissed off and angry last time I did the podcast, which was last week. And things have got better. It's just the gigs that I've been doing were better. I've just been in a better mood, really. What's been happening? Well, a lot of the week was taken up with writing more sketches for the TV show there. Just writing the sketches, and it's difficult. That's still the difficult thing. I'm not very good. I'm not very happy with myself. It might be good. The sketches actually might be pretty good, but I'm not happy with myself just because I'm. I feel that I can be better at writing sketches. So it's still a discipline that I'm learning. It's interesting because, you know, I'll think it's a good idea and then I'll write it and then I'm like, nah, it just doesn't work. And it's a different discipline to just doing stand-up. So, yeah, that's been happening. So I've been writing for a couple of different things and trying to really get my teeth sunk in to that. I don't know what the phrase is, really, for that, to get you to sink in your teeth. Sink in your teeth? I don't fucking know. Yeah, to get down and dirty, whatever the phrase is for that. So that's been going all right. I mean, it's been going all right. You know, I'm trying, I'm writing, and yeah, hopefully it's all going to work out. Hopefully this whole TV thing is going to work out, and there'll be a show, and I'll be happy, and it'll be amazing. But then I'm sure that I won't be happy for some other reason, because I'm never fucking happy. It's just the way it works. So I've been writing a lot last couple of weeks. Something that might promote the show is I had an interview with a French kind of magazine, online magazine called Telerama. Telerama being, it's kind of like Time Out a little bit. It's a French equivalent of Time Out magazine, where the girl came to see the show, and I had an interview where she asked me some questions and stuff, and we met at a bar in near République. It was actually one of the bars that got hit up during the attacks last year. So I went there, and ironically, the place is called La Bonne Bière, the good beer. Ironically, they've only got 5 fucking beers on tap. Change the fucking name of the place. You can't call yourself the good beer and have 5 standard shit beers on tap. You know, you've got to be some sort of craft brewery if you're going to be called the good beer. Anyway. Yeah, it was funny. I was just sitting on the terrace outside there, because that's what you can do in Paris. You can sit outside, and some guy who's like kind of jogging jogs past the table, and then he jogs back and he goes, "Hey, are you that guy who did the video about the bees?" I'm like, "Yes, I am." And he's like, "Oh, I'm Italian. I loved it. It was great, because in Italy," and we had like a 5-minute conversation. It was great. I really appreciated it. It was just I've become La Bees guy, and that's just what it is. I'll just have to deal with that until something new comes out of me that's visible. I mean, stuff has come out of me. You know, I've gone to the toilet and stuff like that. But until something else hilarious comes out of me that gets viewed so many times, then I'm going to be known as the bees guy, which isn't too bad, really, considering it got viewed 5 million times. So that's all right. So that was fun. I got recognized again. It'd been a while. So that was fun. Again, and so we had the interview for the for this magazine, which is cool because I think the article will get released in a couple of weeks, just in time for my July dates. So hopefully July will be better than June. I'm hoping it will be. Otherwise, I will be up Schitt's Creek without a paddle, as they say. So the interview, standard kind of interview. I say standard kind of interview as if I've done thousands of them. You know, I've done maybe 5 or 6 interviews, but it was cool. You know, where are you from? Why did you decide to do a show in both languages? What do you talk about? You know, what do you think of the French? They're all bastards. that was fun. What else did I get up to? Oh, I went to see Adele with Mademoiselle. Look at that, I'm a poet and I didn't know it. I went to see Adele at the Hotel Accor's Arena, or the Accor Hotels Arena, whatever it's called now. It's a stadium. It's not a stadium, it's an arena in Paris. It holds about 20,000 people. It's just been recently done up last year, and we went to see Adele. Yeah, shut up. I know, it's Adele. But she was actually amazing. It was the concert was just out of this world. It was crazy. Obviously, my girlfriend is more of a fan of Adele than I am, and she had been looking up some videos and things like that of her singing live, and there was a couple of songs where, like, as she was singing live, like, she wouldn't quite hit the notes that she was supposed to hit, whether it was on a TV show or whatever, like live footage from a concert. And I was like, this might be interesting, considering that a lot of her songs are super powerful. But she nailed it. She absolutely crushed it. She started with Hello, obviously, it was towards the end of that she fluffed up one of the lines, or she her voice went like, ugh! It was a little bit weird. She laughed, everyone laughed, it was fine. And then from then on, I think it was just the nerves, really, because she hadn't been to Paris for a while. And after that, yeah, it went amazingly. She completely nailed it. I wrote some stuff down just because I was like, oh, there's a lot of stuff happening at this, because it's been a while since I've been to a concert. And first of all, I was waiting for my girlfriend outside of the metro station, the entrance there. And, you know, when there's a big concert or something, always the scalpers, you know, the people that sell tickets. And always, it was just these guys just walking around, just being like, Diplas, 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 get Diplas, Diplas. Which means, you know, tickets, like, you've got, seats. Diplas, Diplas. Like, where the fuck are these people getting their tickets from? Do they, I mean, I presumably, they just make their living from buying tickets, like before everyone somehow. I don't know how they're getting on these websites. I don't know what they're doing or what algorithms they're using just to buy up the tickets and presumably sell them more expensive. And there was also a couple of guys looking to buy tickets off people. Like who's selling tickets? Who's selling tickets? To presumably again like buy the tickets off people who don't want them. So let's say you paid, I don't know, 50 euros. For your ticket, which 50 euros, I paid like 128 euros for the tickets each. So they were pretty expensive. So presumably people that don't want to go there, they're buying them. And then these dickheads are like buying them cheap off people, being like, well, you're not going to use them. So instead of the 100 euros you paid, I'm going to give you 50 euros. And I guess people might be like subconsciously thinking, well, 50 euros, I mean, it's like half the ticket price, but I'd rather have 50 euros than just not go to the concert or whatever. But then I'm sure they then sell the ticket, you know, because they're a bit pushy and all that kind of stuff. They're all assholes, basically. And you can hear them. I was hearing them discuss afterwards. I guess they were talking about, yeah, you know, today's Adele, but then the next day they've got it all planned out. I'm sure they've got a calendar in their house lined up of every concert at that place. I wonder if they choose like their venues, if they're like, all right, cool, I'm going to be like an Accor Hotels geezer, I'm going to hang out there. And some other people is like, well, I'm going to hang out at the Olympia, or I'm going to hang out, and that's their thing. I wonder if it's all like territorial and stuff. Like if you decide one day, if one day I was like, fuck comedy, I want to go be a scalper for a living, I wonder if I showed up and started selling tickets, if I would get like kicked out by the gang, you know, if they're like a little gang. I don't know how it works. I'd be really fascinated if there's any scalpers that are listening to this podcast by chance, then tell me how it works. I'd love to find out how it works. But it was crazy. There was also a ridiculous queue. I every time there's some sort of thing, event in Paris, fuck, no one knows how to queue up for shit in this place. I'm telling you. Like, first of all, I paid 128 euros for the tickets, and I bought them off of Amex, because Amex have got like a special deal going on with the venue there, with the Hotel Accor's Arena. they've got a special deal. So Amex people basically got an email before the general public saying, hey, Adele tickets are out, priority to Amex people, whatever. And as an Amex member, you're supposed to get like these benefits. You're supposed to get like a free cocktail at the Amex bar. You're supposed to get priority line, like queuing, whatever. It's basically like an airline. You know, if you're a gold member on Air France or British Airways or whatever, you get priority. You get to get in the queue. The queue is a nightmare. They're still like working. They're still like what's that called in English? Like when they're working, it's like a work site. What the fuck's that called in English? A job site, a works. There's still works happening. I get that doesn't really make sense to me, but yeah, they were still building some stuff around. So like there were barriers all over the place, and it was a total nightmare of organisation. Like the queue wasn't happening. Like people could just jump in, you know, whenever they wanted, and no one really gave a shit, you know, because there was so many people moving through. There's like a 20,000 people were trying to get through at the same time, and then so there wasn't. It was just awful. It was just terrible organising. There wasn't. Didn't end up being a special queue for Amex people. So that pissed me off because it's like, well, what's the point in having, you know, an Amex and being a platinum member or whatever if you're just going to get treated like all the other cunts out there? Do you know what I mean? Wow. That was harsh, wasn't it? Anyway, so the queue was a nightmare. There was no space at the Amex bar, of course, because you had to book in advance, and that was all booked out. So in the end, we were just like normal people. It was crazy. Then we get to the front of the queue. Like, so it took about, I don't know, 15, 20 minutes to get through. Like the queue was massive, but it was moving fairly quickly. I guess they were doing security checks. So then we walk in, and as you get into there was a security check before you got into the building. And then there was another security check inside the building. And because I guess everyone got patted down, they had a separate line for men and women, and no one didn't say this anywhere. So it's only when you got to the very front of the line that there's this security guard, hilarious. This security guard, he's just obviously fed up of saying the same shit every time. He was just like, women on the left, guys on the right, women on the left, guys on the right, women on the left, guy. I guess that's what he was saying all day. So we get there. And he's, you know, we're all kind of confused. What's going on? We don't really know why people move. And he's like, women on the left, guys on the right. And he goes, transsexuals, they can do whatever they want. I'm like, oh, no, you didn't just say that, you fucking idiot. Oh, transsexuals can do what they want. This guy clearly hasn't got the first clue about what's going on. Transgender. I think he said transgender can do what they want. Just like, mate, seriously? All right. Fair enough. I mean, we are in 2016. We are in France. Still, some people are a little bit backwards. So anyway, I thought that was just hilarious, just how uncultured and unpolitically correct. Men on the left, guys on the right, transgender can do what the fuck they want. Really? Okay, good. And then obviously, because women are women and guys are guys, women have handbags and guys don't. So the guys' queue was going much quicker than the girls' queue. And so I get patted down by the geezer, all right, geezer. I get to the other side and there's just a sea of men. It's just a sea of men waiting for their, because no man went there on his own. He obviously went there with his wife or his husband, you know, because there's a lot of gay people appreciate Adele. I do appreciate it. I do like the music. I'm just not allowed to admit it out loud. you do listen to what the fuck you want. Shut up. So anyway, I'm standing there at the queue, and there's literally about 50 guys waiting for their ladies to come through the thing because they've got to check their bags and do all that kind of stuff. And they were throwing makeup away because you couldn't have open bottles. You had to have a bottle. If it was a bottle, it had to have a plastic bottle. It had to have the lid off. So I guess if you want to throw some water at Adele, I don't know why you'd want to throw water at her. That the bottle would fly and the water would fall out by the... Anyway, so perfume was getting thrown out. It was all pretty intense. It was all exciting. But yeah, we were going through there. It's just like, oh, okay, good. So we get through security and we're looking around like, okay. What's the story here? So often we go to concerts. Some concerts give out like free ear protection things like... what do you call those? Earbuds? I don't know. The things that you... When you listen to music loud, it doesn't fuck your ears up. Ear protect... I should really improve my vocabulary here, Paul. But I don't care. I live in France. I don't need to. what are they called? Ear protection? Ear mufflers? The things that you stick in your ears. Ear plugs. There we go. Wow. Did I already say earplugs? Anyway. Here they weren't. You had to buy them. €6. €6 for the earplugs. It's like, €6 for earplugs. Not quite sure about that. And then we looked to my left and there was a champagne bar. €12 for a glass of champagne. I was like, I'd rather pay €12 for a champagne, to be honest. so we just ended up having a glass of champagne. This is all sounding very... I went all out. It was my girlfriend's Christmas present. We did it the proper way. We got the good seats. It sounds like I'm very rich here. It's paying €128, then €12 for champagne. Hey, we enjoyed it. We had a €12 champagne. It was good. And the concert was fantastic. It got out. She was great. Her voice was amazing throughout the whole thing. It was unreal. And it was fun. It was a lot of fun. She's funny as well. She's hilarious. She's actually funnier than I am. If I'm honest, she's great. She's just so real on stage. The French didn't understand anything that she was saying, but that was what made it even funnier. At some stage, I'm like, oh God, I'm not the only one who's asking questions to an audience and they're answering the wrong thing. She goes, she brought some people on stage and she goes, oh, how are you? How old are you? She goes, how old are you? And the girl responded, I'm very good. I'm very good. And she goes, you know, if you've heard her laugh, that's how she laughs. It's great. She goes, no, how old are you? How many years? And it took for her friend to whisper into her ear while she was on stage. And she's like, oh, 17. So it was good because we often have a lot of that in the stand-up comedy scene in Paris in English. Is we'll ask the audience something like Luke Thompson, classic Luke Thompson at the end of our show that we do together. Sometimes he'll ask the audience, hey, how did you guys find out about the show? You know, and they all go, it was good. And he's like, no, not how did you find the show? How did you find out about it? Like, what was it? How did it? And it's hilarious. I find that hilarious. So anyway, it was good to see that Adele in front of 20,000 people was also struggling to get the French audience. And the sing-alongs weren't great, if I'm honest. People were trying to sing along, but it wasn't working. I mean, I don't know the lyrics. that was great. It was just an overall great. The only thing that was annoying was that. Right next to us, just in front of us, in the row in front of us, was people decided to bring their fucking babies, or one baby, to the kid was like, I don't know, not even two, I guess. Decided to bring a two-year-old to it, and he, at some stage, he was pretty good for most of it, but there was at some stage where he started like crying and whinging like a little bitch, and I was just like, mate, why do you bring your two-year-old to a concert? And I'm sure the guy's paid, he's obviously had to pay €128 because he was sat in the row in front. They weren't more expensive or less expensive. So he's had to pay €128 for his two-year-old to come to the concert. I'm like, who does that? And then the baby's whinging throughout some of the songs, you know. I couldn't really tell if it was the baby or Adele, if I'm honest, at some stage. You know, because she's too easy. Too easy, Paul. There was a video online with her complaining or telling some woman to stop filming. Because I guess at one of her concerts, some woman decided to show up with a tripod or something and put a camera on. And Adele, if you type into Google or Facebook or YouTube or whatever, like Adele tells an audience member to stop filming. She's like, yeah, stop filming. I'm standing in front of you, you know. And I'm watching all these people filming. I took like 3 or 4 photos. I didn't film anything. I just took 3 or 4 photos. And they look shit anyway because anything, like, you know, if you look at anybody's photos from a concert, unless it's like a professional camera, they're shit. The lighting is awful because if you want to, like, there was a big, massive screen, and if you want the screen to show up, you've got to. If you tap on the screen, then it reduces the intake of light, and then so then you don't. So the photos look shit, right? But I took a couple anyway, just whatever for the sake of it. But there were so many people filming stuff, you know, and it was just. And I know everyone's talked about this before, like, oh, filming during concerts, you know, blah blah blah. I know that comedian Dave Chappelle, I think, has decided to have like mandatory bags in his stand-up show that people have to put their phones in, and the phone doesn't work unless you take it out of the bag, but you can't open the bag unless you leave, something like that, something cool. But more than that, I'm just like, guys, You paid 128 euros for the show. I'm not going to sit and watch it back on a fucking phone. I'm going to watch it in real life, you know. And then maybe if I really want to see I'll buy the DVD when it comes out, which is what I did last time with Coldplay. We went to the concert, saw the concert. It was the best concert I've ever been to. Obviously, if you like Coldplay. If you don't like Coldplay, then it's not. But I do. And shut up. Yeah, and then I bought the DVD afterwards because it was that good. I was just like, mate, were you going to watch it back on your phone? No one watches their stuff back on the phone, and then you can't hear anything. The sound is shit. I'm just, just people. And it's always the same thing as well, like people taking photos with flash. There was a couple of people next to us that, as they were taking video, the flash was on. And so it lit up like 20 people in front of them. And so that was distracting. It's just annoying, basically. But, you know, that's what life has got to nowadays. I don't know. I didn't really go to many concerts before phones with cameras came out, really. I guess I did. But I guess people brought their own cameras, you know, their own, like, Kodaks or whatever. I don't know. It's just annoying. Anyway. So after the show, we went for a cocktail. This is a half an hour story about me going to an Adele concert. Well, fuck it. Why not? So we went to a we ended up going to like the American Express bar afterwards for a cocktail. And I got a cocktail. We got two cocktails, just one each. I got my cocktail. Mine was called Chill Out. It was very nice. It was a bit fruity. But so I ordered it. We ordered it. And about 5 minutes later or 10 minutes later or whatever, the guy comes back with the two cocktails on his plate, on his tray. And obviously he's French. And he goes, oui, le chilout, c'est pour qui? Which means which is supposed to mean the chill out. Who's the chill out for? But he pronounced it chilout. Le chilout, c'est pour qui? And I looked. It took me it felt like 10 seconds to process chilout into chill out. But it was probably less than that. And I was like, oh yeah, that one's for me. Just classic. I'm like, seriously? Like, Jesus Christ. You can't even make a bit of an effort. You know it's not chilout. You know it's not French you're reading on this menu. All of the cocktails have got English names. Give me a break. I mean, I get it. It was just funny. Whatever. And the other thing that was interesting, it was hilarious. It wasn't hilarious. It was, for me, it was just like, really? All right. It was funny the first time. Is that everyone on my face? I posted a photo from inside the, from inside the venue. And more than 5 people were like, oh, did you open for her? Did you do her opening act? Everyone found themselves hilarious. Great joke, people. Well done. I'm giving you a hard time. It was funny the first time I read it. It was like, oh, it was my mate Chris from when I was a kid in Canterbury. Chris Barlow. He's like, oh, did you open for her? I was like, oh, that's funny. Yeah, it's good. And then I saw like 5 other people comment on it. I'm like, really? You didn't already read that joke had already been made once? And clearly not. I'm not opening for her because clearly she's a musician. I'm a comedian. The joke's on me. Good times. Oh, good. What else has happened? The TV appearance went live. I forgot that it was happening really at that specific time. But I got a couple of texts and from people who's like, hey, I just saw you on the Émission d'Antoine, the TV show on Canal Plus. I was like, oh yeah, I forgot that was happening because we'd recorded it 2 weeks previous. I did talk about it in a previous podcast, but I just didn't. It took me a while to actually see the footage just because I don't have a subscription to Canal Plus, which you need in order to see it. So for those of you who do have a subscription to Canal Plus, you might be able to see it. You can still see it. For those of you who don't, you can't see it, unfortunately. But the good news is you're not missing much. The good news for me is that I didn't make too much of an idiot of myself. Even though I was super nervous. I didn't know what was happening. I was just really nervous. But I got away with it. It was okay. I didn't look too stupid. And it was good for a first TV appearance. So if any of you out there are interested in watching that and you don't have a Canal Plus subscription, then you'll have to come and see me. You'll have to come and find me at my house and I will show it to you at my house. So that was cool. What else happened? Oh, the other thing that I was going to talk about was the the filming. I filmed for a TV advert for Renault, the car company. And Yeah, it was good. It was just a whole day of filming. We had a great time. There was three of us who were like acting in it. We had three different like scenarios that we had to go for. So hopefully it'll end up being on TV at some stage. I don't know when. I'll post it on my Facebook and stuff when it does, if it looks good enough. It was just, shut up. Cat's going crazy again. Always. Every fucking time I do a podcast. The filming was cool. It was just long. It was long for like two lines. You know, obviously it's very professional. Film crew that are there, like lighting crew, sound, everything, decoration, makeup. It was all, you know, proper high budget stuff. There's more money in TV adverts than there is. So yeah, we'll see what happens. I thought it was pretty fun. It was very hot. Because I was inside a car for a lot of it, and so the car, you know, if you're inside a car and the sun's tapping on the car and the car's not on, then it's a little bit difficult. So that was fun. Did that on Friday. So I guess we'll see sometime, the result of that at some stage. If not, whatever. I got paid to act and to get photos taken of me. And then hopefully, if they use those photos or videos, then I'll get royalties, which is good. That's where the money is at, bitches, which is cool. What else has been happening this week? Well, the football started, didn't it? The old Euro 2016 started, and per usual, England did shit. I've stopped hoping that England are going to do well and win something one day, because they still play the same as they play when I was growing up as a kid, which is they score one goal and then they sit on their asses and just go, fuck it, we've scored one goal, that'll be good enough. And then at the very last minute, the other team equalise and score, and then that's it. And that happens every time. Just all the time. If we don't get the shit kicked out of us, then we lose because we score one goal. And I'm not talking about in qualifying. I'm talking about like in actual big competitions. That's what happens every time. Every time. Luckily, it was just a draw. And then otherwise, it goes to penalties. And then we lose on penalties. It's just typical England football. And I can't believe after 20 years, no one's just gone, right, okay, we score one goal. We should probably carry on. We should probably try and score a second. Then be safe, you know? Nightmare. So the football's been happening. I've been trying to watch as many games as possible because I'm getting back into it now. Every Euro and World Cup, I get into it. And now that my little brother's playing football professionally, it's becoming more of a hobby of mine. So I might turn into one of those dickhead guys who likes football. Do you know what I mean? Like, basically, yeah, fucking hell. I'll go down to Marseille and start some shit with the Russian supporters, innit, blad? Yeah, obviously that was a bit of a downer, the whole violence between the two fans. I made a good joke about that. I thought it was good because people laughed. It was funny. I was just like, oh yeah, you know, the England and Russian fans, they were fighting. I called a friend of mine who was down there. I was worried about his safety. And he told me that they weren't actually fighting because of the football. They weren't fighting because they wanted to be hooligans and stuff like that. The reason they were fighting was they saw Series 1 of Marseille on Netflix. And it was so shit that they decided to try and create a better plotline for Season 2 by starting fighting and stuff like that. So hopefully Season 2 of Marseille will be better. The French audience enjoyed that. I was performing that same night, the night after all the stuff happened on Sunday, and I couldn't get on stage and be like, "Hi, I'm English," without talking about the fact that we'd all started beating the shit out of each other down in Marseille. So I thought that was a pretty good joke, and they liked it, so that was fun. What else? Yesterday? I'm excited because there's another video is on its way, people. Another video. I'm not waiting for the TV channel to make some more videos. I was just like, you know what, it's taking a long time. I know it's going to be good, it's great, but I need to get some more videos out there. And so I got in touch with the website, the French website Topito, which is one of my friends actually works there, and they thanks to them really was part of the reason why La Bise got so widely spread in that first week of it coming out, was because they reposted it on their website and it got lots of views. And so I proposed to make a video for them similar to my Taylor's top tips back in the day, except this one would be my top tips for coming to Paris. And so we filmed that yesterday. And I mean, I'm not going to spoil it for you, but the general idea is that it's me being very angry and giving you top tips about Paris, and actually genuine top tips as well, but with a bit of a comedy and angry twist. So I look forward to that video coming out. I presume it will be out in the next few weeks or so. So that should be interesting. And that's it pretty much. That's what I mean. That's it pretty much. It's a pretty busy week as per usual. I'm waiting for a week. Well, to go by where I'm just like, yeah, nothing happened. I've got nothing to talk about, and I've got to try and fill some time. Because right now, it's been 35 minutes, so I'm kind of over by 5 minutes. So that's it. This next week, what's happening? Well, I'm going to London tomorrow, to go and see Coldplay in concert. So last Thursday I was at Adele concert. This Thursday I'll be at the Coldplay concert at Wembley Stadium, which I'm excited about. It's my mate's birthday, Chris, as well. So we'll be there. I'm off to see my mum, to see my dad. And then on Saturday, I'm off to see a football match, a live football match, Portugal-Austria. So that'll be cool. I'm taking my little brother and my dad along. And they're coming to the show, hashtag Franglais, on Sunday. So I'll let you know how that goes. Next week, hopefully, I should have some time. I will have some time next week, because next Tuesday I'm not doing much apart from my show. So thank you for listening, as always. You know, if you like the podcast and you think it's funny and whatever, then don't talk about it. I don't want anyone else to be listening to it. I just want it to be us, the five of us who are listening to this. I say five. I think there's about 1,000 people who are listening to it. I don't know. I have not got the official numbers. I still don't have a podcast tracking app, because I don't really want to find out, because it'll become another thing that I'll get obsessed with. I'm already obsessed with how many people are coming to my show and how many likes and how many views, all this. I don't need another thing to track numbers. So this is just for us. But thank you for listening and taking part in my life. I feel like I'm talking to you, and you comment and stuff on that. So I appreciate that, and I appreciate your loyalty. Fuck off. Good. Anyway, I'll speak to you next week, hopefully, and enjoy the rest of your week. All right, goodbye.